Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you heard the news from Laura. Byron Buxton back in the lineup for the Field of Dreams game tonight. And the Twins posted a picture on their social media of Buck and his son having a catch. It's pretty amazing. Dad, do you want to have a catch? Is the caption of Byron and his son, Brixton, right?
Yeah, that's Brixton. His son Blaze, I don't know if Blaze is there with him, but when I was down in spring training after you had left, just abandoned me there.
Yeah.
And then I was hanging out with Vanita. His son Blaze was out there, and they were doing the same kind of play and catch out on the spring training field. And it is, maybe I'm just a sucker, but that whole "Dad, you want to have a catch" bit from the movie,
yes,
it gets me every time.
It's, I mean, what a moment, right? And with Buck being activated off of the IL just in time for this game tonight,
yep.
And it's pretty good.
They got to do the players emerging from the corn bit, don't they?
Oh, for sure. That'll be on Netflix tonight on TV. We'll have the game here on CCO, of course.
Pre-game at 6:00.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get you closer to the pregame in the next hour. We had Lisa Damoth on the show yesterday. And you can check out the whole interview if you missed it. It's available wherever you get podcasts. We had Lisa Damoth. We had Peggy Flanagan, both on the show. And what I said to Lisa is that I think the Republicans have their most electable lineup with her and Michelle Tafoya. Then, I mean, I can't even remember. It goes back to Tim Pawlenty, I think. But I can't remember a time where Republicans have more mainstream accessible candidates. I sort of don't know how to talk about this without saying, like, they didn't nominate anybody. I mean, the shortcut is to say they didn't nominate anybody who seems crazy. But the other part is there are certain aspects of both of these candidates that I think remove some of the disqualifiers for the independent voter, for the Republican who maybe identifies as like a Tim Pawlenty style Republican, which I often say, like, if you're a Tim Pawlenty style Republican today in the political dynamic today, that probably makes you a moderate Democrat. Andy Bram is a conservative contributing columnist to the Minnesota Star Tribune. He's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Andy, am I saying this right? Does this feel to you like the best top two at the top of the ticket since the Tim Pawlenty years?
I would agree with that. And first of all, thanks for having me. It's always good to be on your show.
Thank you. Absolutely.
I mean, these are two rock star candidates, and it's been interesting. I've been hearing from, honestly, a lot of Democrats that people are pleased to have a vibrant Republican Party again and to have some choices and that there's going to be some competition. Both Lisa Damoth and Michelle Tafoya are very articulate, strong leaders, and the polls show are going to be able to give Democrats a run for their money. So we Republicans have not done a very good job of putting forward good candidates, and I give my party enormous credit. We turned that corner Tuesday night, so it's going to be a very competitive November.
Were you surprised by just how dominant both Michelle Tafoya and Lisa Damoth turned out to be based on the primary election numbers from Tuesday?
Not really, because the consensus amongst a lot of Republicans has just been, we can't afford another DFL trifecta. We cannot afford to let Democrats take control of the state again. The consequences were pretty severe, and I think Republicans had some blame in that. by just not putting forward our best people. So the desire to win, the love for our state, the love for Minnesota, and we want it to do better. And the way we do that is to have some influence in St. Paul. So I think people sobered up, and we wanted to put forward winners, and there's no question that we did. I mean, Mike Lindell, he'd been our nominee. I certainly wouldn't have voted for him. It would have been a train wreck, and rightfully so. So kudos to Minnesota Republicans.
So let me ask this, Andy, because, I think most Minnesota Republicans support Donald Trump, the never Trump, that sort of era of that wing of the Republican Party. To me, I don't feel that that's a significant group of Republicans in Minnesota anymore. What do you think Republicans in Minnesota were thinking when they said, you know what, we love Donald Trump, but no, like, he's not reading this correctly?
Well, I think Minnesota conservatives are independent minded. We certainly have a history of that. In 2016, we were the only state to go for Marco Rubio. So, we do that. I think a lot of, a lot of support for President Trump has come from really the alternative. People have been wanting to, get behind him because the alternative has been so rough. I don't know if it's necessarily endorsement of everything that he does or says. I know a lot of us Republicans certainly have issues with that. So we'll see. Politics is constantly changing. It's constantly evolving. And I'm in a very good mood today. I like the direction Republicans are heading in. We can be plenty conservative. I'm a very conservative guy, but we can do it in a way that's attractive. And we've had a tough time doing that. And I think that's about to change.
Michelle Tafoya is, for me, the unknown, where, we had a caller earlier today say, like, Michelle Tafoya's never served. She's never run for anything. What has she ever done besides, sports caster? And I guess I would say, I'm like, well, Al Franken was a comedian before he became a senator. I don't think I think it's good for America to have people as a part of the Senate, as a part of the House, who come from a different background, who maybe haven't spent their whole life running for something. It doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to vote for the non-political lifer, but just having a resume doesn't necessarily do much for me either. The question with Tafoya is that we just don't know, like, once you get into a real campaign where you're getting asked questions and you're expected to know a position, who knows what's going to happen between now and Election Day. We sort of don't know how she's going to respond to that, right?
Well, I mean, listen, I don't think it'd be hard to find somebody, more articulate than Michelle Tafoya. She certainly knows how to speak in front of a camera. And
for sure,
she clearly knows herself well and what she believes in. Quite frankly, I'll take that. I mean, she's a very successful person. And you compare that to Peggy Flanagan, who has never had a job in the private sector. I think that's one of the problems we have, particularly in Minnesota, is we have leaders who have never had any experience in business at all. That goes for the governor as well. And so they don't understand how the private economy works. So I'll take her resume any day over Peggy Flanagan, who has never.
Well, I know a lot of people who worked in TV stations. I don't know that that's a positive factor, Andy.
Well, maybe you're right. I'm a lawyer, so that's probably, that wouldn't help me either.
That's true. No, I know. We used to send all the lawyers to D.C. That's not in vogue anymore. That's for sure. Andy Brown.
We're unpopular. So.
When you look at issues, obviously fraud is an issue. I think for a Senate race, fraud will be an issue. It's probably not going to be I don't know. We'll see. There is some federal role, maybe in oversight or providing funding or figuring out better ways to prevent fraud. But do you expect, what do you think will be the main issues when it becomes to, we really get the Tafoya Flanagan battle?
Mm-hmm. I mean, this might sound corny, but honestly, I just think people want to see the state work better. And so fraud is obviously a huge part of that. It's obviously an indicator that our state government is not working well at all. But we see it, across the board. We're paying way too high of taxes. Our schools aren't working. It's just state government, local government isn't working well. So I think all that comes together. And it just seems to be a consensus that people that are used to Minnesota kind of being at the top of the heap in so many different areas, we've really come down a notch. So is fraud going to be an issue? Absolutely, it should be. I mean, people are disgusted by it. And, you know, we can justify our high taxes here by saying, okay, well, maybe, you know, there's some return on investment.
That's
but
exactly right.
When our tax dollars are going to, when it's going to fraud, you certainly can't justify that. They belong on at your home versus in a fraudster's pocket.
Well, and we don't have the results in schools that we used to. We don't. I mean, a lot of the things where you would say, as you're saying, like we were, yeah, I'll pay higher taxes if it's going to work. But if it's not working, then you start to ask questions about it for sure. I do think Republicans, you know, the math in this state is still difficult, right? I mean, and you saw it in primary turnout where you see Peggy Flanagan getting, you know, what, 200,000 more votes than Lisa Damith got in a, you know, obviously two different races, but both very competitive races. Do you read too much into that primary turnout, or do you think the general will be a different deal?
Listen, I think Democrats are going to come out. I mean, Peggy Flanagan excites a certain segment of the far left portion of the electorate. I give her that. I mean, she is a genuine far left liberal, and she doesn't hide from that, which in some ways I respect. But I think she's going to have an equal factor in getting people out that say, hey, I want that's just not me. That's not, those aren't my values, and I don't want that representing me in the United States Senate. So it's nothing personal against Peggy Flanagan. I think she means well. I've met her, actually. She's very pleasant. But she is a really hardcore liberal. And again, a lot of people came out to support her, and I get why. But I don't think that makes up a majority electorate in the state.
Well, Andy, we wanted to have you on just because this was such a fascinating Republican race this year, to have Lisa Damith beat the guy the president endorsed, the guy the party endorsed.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and it does make you, for me, look, I just vote the show. I mean, having two competitive races with four really good candidates, two good, you know, you got really accomplished, four accomplished women at the top of both of these tickets. Cool. Like, let's have it out, and let's talk about what we think the future should be like. I think it's great.
Amen. So, yeah, good. It's good for everybody. And
yes.
I'm very optimistic. I think these are winnable races. I really do. I don't think Amy Klobuchar is a foregone conclusion. People want to see change. But we'll see. It's going to be tight, and it'll be interesting to watch. And like I said, I think it'll be very healthy for our state that needs some political competition.
Andy, thank you. You can read Andy Brehm's piece at the Minnesota Star Tribune, startribune.com, one of the contributing columnists. And we appreciate having Andy on. 5:20, we're going to break. Field of Dreams game tonight in Iowa. We're just about 40 minutes away from pregame. We wanted to ask you what your favorite baseball movie is. Is it Field of Dreams? What's the best baseball movie of all time? 651-461-9226. Drive Time back in a minute.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall is back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Hey, Dad. You want to have a catch?
I'd like that.
Oh, come on. Pretty good. Field of Dreams game happening in Iowa. Minnesota Twins playing tonight. It got us thinking about baseball movies. Baseball is the sport of, like, the Stanford people, you know? Like, nerds love baseball because there's so much data. There's always been a like George Will, Chris Atterbury type. I mean that with love to Atterbury,
sure,
but you know, like, he's a smart dude.
Yes, he is.
And I think there's something about the combination of, like, how patriotic baseball sort of makes you feel. It's the statistical analysis. It's the slow pace that lets you analyze little things.
It's the James Earl Jones' monologue from Field of Dreams, right? Talking about how baseball has basically flowed along with American history.
Yeah.
And how the development of baseball has, again, mirrored and gone along with American history, where you can start over and become something completely new, like the American dream, says we all can. It's the pace of it that you talk about. That's what appeals to me.
Yeah.
There's not a clock to run out. You can think about it. You can strategize. You can, you know, every pitch matters. To me, it's the best sport. It's not even close. And to see it celebrated in a way like this tonight, is just so cool. If you haven't seen one of the previous Field of Dream games and you have at Netflix, tune into this, because just the scene of these players walking out of that cornfield is going to be goosebumps on my arms 100% for the rest of the night.
Best baseball movies, 651-461-9226.
That being said,
Field of Dreams is not
the best.
It's not my number.
It's a great movie, but it wouldn't be my favorite baseball movie.
Andrew says Moneyball.
Also a good movie.
Moneyball's a good movie.
Solid movie. Not my favorite baseball movie.
Baseball is a key component to Moneyball.
Yes.
I guess I don't always think about that as a baseball movie. Obviously it is.
But I understand what you're saying, because it's really more about, well, that's every baseball movie isn't so much about baseball. It's about, you know, something else, right? And in Moneyball, it's about, you know, trying to change an industry or trying to change a system,
right?
And watching the system clap back at you.
It does love. There is love for baseball in that movie.
Absolutely.
I think
100%.
So it's not just, it's that combination of, it is sort of, maybe it's the perfect movie of this era of baseball, right? Where you still have love, you still have the romance in the game, but it's data.
Do you have a pick?
I think it's Bull Durham.
I should have gone first. No, 100% it's Bull Durham. 100% it's Bull Durham.
Chris
Stubbs says Major League. Also a very fun
Major
movie.
Major League is fun.
Also very great comedy, very fun movie.
My second is A League of Their Own.
Okay, see, that, then we can divide, because my second is The Natural.
Oh, The Natural, very good.
I think the greatest baseball scene ever filmed is Robert Redford hitting the home run, busting up the lights with that song that everybody wants to play, and everybody imagines themselves rounding the bases.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Couple texters saying Sandlot. Sharon from Farmington says Sandlot. 612er says Sandlot.
I know a lot of people that swear by that movie.
1993. So it's right in the wheelhouse of a certain generation,
yeah,
right?
It wasn't.
These are my people.
I think the people that love Sandlot are the same kind of people that love Bad News Bears.
Yeah, it's a little too, like, corny.
Kinda, yeah. It just wasn't my thing.
A lot of texts for Sandlot. Major League, says Tom.
Yeah, that's what Chris voted for.
Yeah.
The original, the sequels, not so much, but the original, excellent film.
The Rookie.
What made Major League, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm completely blanking on the name. Harry Dunn was the character. Bob Uecker. Good Lord. How could I not come up with Bob Uecker? Bob Uecker made
Major League. Bob Uecker made that
movie. Was phenomenal in that movie. So good.
Eight Men Out.
Another very good movie.
For the Love of the Game.
So that's Costner as the aging veteran, throws the one last perfect game in Yankee Stadium. That film had moments. But Bull Durham, to me, far, far exceeds that one.
What else do we have here? A lot of The Sandlot, a lot of The Natural. I mean, some of the quotes, right? Like League of Their Own.
Very quotable film. There's no crying in baseball. Tom Hanks, again.
That is persevered.
100% made that film.
Yeah. And The Sandlot, also very... very cool.
The best baseball scene for me is in The Natural, Robert Redford hitting the home run. The best baseball monologue. If you ever want to fall in love and see the romantic side of baseball, it's James Earl Jones in Field of Dreams. That whole bit, they'll come, Ray. I mean,
pretty
just
great.
Phenomenal.
Pretty
phenomenal great. Work by him.
Fun. Tonight'll be fun. The game first pitch is at
6:30. Pregame starts at 6 here on CCO. 6:30 is your first pitch. If you're like me and you're going to be getting home after first pitch, remember with Netflix, you can rewind and start from the beginning.
There is that. And if you don't have Netflix, you do have WCCO Radio. And on the Odyssey app, proud to be the home of the Twins.
100%.
I think they'll tap into the romance on the radio. Actually, the 100%. Listening to it on the radio should be pretty cool.
I know our friend Andrew Halverson is down there with him. He's the guy behind, you know, Twins TV and Twins Radio. Most people don't know that name, but trust me, if you like what you ever see on the radio or on Twins TV, Andrew Halverson's probably behind it. And he's going to be down there, you know, working with him. I absolutely look forward to hearing this broadcast tonight because it should be phenomenal.
All right, keep it here on CCO. That pregame is coming at you in just about a half hour. When we come back, I want to ask you, because I spent the night in Rochester and got so many comments from you telling me where to go, what I should see, where I should visit. I mean, I'm talking more than 300 comments on social media. I don't even know if there are 300 spots to go in Rochester, but it is amazing. And it got me thinking about the best Minnesota cities outside of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and why, and where should I go? So give me a city and give me a place I should visit. 651-461-9226. Drive Time back in a minute.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.
I spent, Dan, how long was I in Rochester? From 8 p.m. until noon today? What is that? That's 16 hours?
Correct.
All right. You know math. I'm not that good at it.
I know, but you nailed that one.
Thank you. 16 hours in Rochester. And I kind of want to go back. Rochester, I think most people think of Rochester. When you think Rochester, what do you think, Dan?
Mayo Clinic.
Mayo Clinic. That's it. And I'll tell you, when I was checking out of my hotel this morning, you know, it is a little bit like the walking wounded. You know what I'm saying? Like a lady in front of me has got like her wrist wrapped up. It's a company town.
I thought you meant you were feeling the effects of the night before.
Well, that may be the case. But you get a real sense that people are there either because they're medical professionals or they're there to see medical professionals. But Rochester had like a lot of cool stuff going on. And today they have like outside of Mayo Clinic, like I think it's every Thursday, they close off like a bunch of streets and they had live music on two stages over the lunch hour, probably two dozen restaurants with booths and all these like vendors and artisans and artists and stuff. And I'm like, Rochester, like kind of cool. It had a cool vibe going. And it got me thinking that I wanted to ask you guys about your favorite city, your favorite Minnesota city. Now, we got a poll. Minneapolis and St. Paul out, right? That's sort of cheating. But when you think about the city area, what are the cool cities? What is your favorite city? 651-461-9226. Texter says Lanesboro. I've never been to Lanesboro. But Lanesboro, I feel like that is like a big sort of resorty area, isn't it? Have you ever been to Lanesboro? It's kind of bluff country. I'm looking at some pictures. Lanesboro looks pretty cool. Yeah, I've never been to Lanesboro. Texter was Jason at Kathy's Pub on Broadway in Rochester. I was not. I did go by that. Another texter, you know nothing about Rochester from just a half day. You're a big talker today. What? What a absolutely wild text, right? Like,
because you opened the segment by saying, I know everything there is to know about Rochester, and you people are all idiots. That's what you said. Oh, wait, no, you didn't say anything like that. Good Lord.
Are people just mad all the time? You just want to be pissed about something?
There's a group of people out there that are.
How dare you, DeRussia?
And they love to comment on our
show. I don't know. I don't know jack about Rochester. I've been there for 16 hours. I said it seemed kind of cool.
Well, what are you doing? There's a lot of jibber-jabbering about Rochester out of you, ding-dong. What do you know?
I am so sorry for liking Rochester.
Is that the deal now? People are going to gatekeep Rochester?
I don't know. Like, most people probably go to Rochester just... And to be honest, I told a friend that I was going to Rochester. And I felt like I immediately had to say, like, I'm okay. Right? Like, if you're not from Rochester and you say, I'm going down to Rochester, people assume, oh, are you going to see the doctor? I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'd like to send some of these textures to the doctor, I'll tell you that much. The person who said I know nothing said I lived there for 2 years. It was a mean city when I was there. Well, you only lived there for 2 years. What the hell do you know, buddy boy? Huh? Just kidding. Maybe it is a mean city. I don't know. I didn't talk to everybody. Stillwater, says a texter. Stillwater is generally my number one. I love Stillwater. Alyssa and I, the last time we were there, we were talking about, like, could we see ourselves retiring in Stillwater? And she was like, no. And I was like, yes. I like it. Hayward, Wisconsin, says a texter. Muskie Fest last week in June. I like Hayward. I've been to Hayward before.
Yeah, Hayward's great. But I think the reigning champion when it comes to non-metro area Minnesota cities,
yeah,
has to be Duluth.
And I'm
a bit even hesitant to say that, not because I don't like Duluth. Duluth is phenomenal. But you do know how I hate to agree with the Noon to Three host.
I know. Chad loves Duluth.
And he's a big Duluth guy. And I hate to say it, but Chad's right.
Do you think he really likes Duluth, or is this just like...
He likes people to think that he likes
Duluth?
Yeah,
like, to a certain degree, Chad wants to be seen as like an every man. And like, his favorite city is probably Palm Springs, California, right?
Well, that's not a Minnesota city. Sort of falls outside the purview of this particular segment.
I mean, his favorite Minnesota city is Golden Valley. And
that's what he likes to say. That one, I think, is performative.
That's a lie. Yeah.
I think his favorite Minnesota city is Bloomington because that's where the airport is and he can get out of here.
That's pretty good.
Why do you sound surprised?
I'm just enjoying the comedy. I mean, your choices are basically, like, if you think of cities, how many Minnesota, like, I'm not talking towns, you know what I mean? Because you could go with the, like, well, I like the Brainerd Lakes area. And you're like, does anybody really like Brainerd? No. You like Gull Lake. You know what I mean?
You like the area around.
You like the area.
Yeah.
Moorhead? You never hear anybody say more. You know what outside of the metro, you know what the best city is? Moorhead. It's because Fargo is cooler than Moorhead.
If you're going for smaller, like, towns.
Yeah.
Nisswa's pretty awesome.
Oh, Nisswa's pretty good. Yep. Great two-block little main downtown area. I mean, our options are limited, right?
In terms of sizable cities, yeah. I mean, you have basically the four.
Rochester, Duluth. Mankato? How would you rank it? Duluth, Rochester, Mankato, Moorhead. Am I missing anything?
St. Cloud.
Oh, St. Cloud. I would say...
Duluth 1, Rochester 2. Everybody else.
I mean, Bloomington to me is too, like...
That's metro-y.
Metro,
yeah,
right?
No, you can't, like, count that.
Because when you look at population...
You do have to get down to Mankato before you're...
Rochester has 125,000 residents. And then we get real small. Like, Duluth is 88,000. St. Cloud is 72,000. And then Moorhead is 46,000. Mankato is about the same. They're pretty small, right? Like, and then, like, I don't know. It's all metro. Austin. What about Austin? Spam Museum?
I'll be honest with you. I've never been to Austin.
So here's the thing about going to Austin. Population 26,689. When you go to Austin, you're going to go to the Spam Museum.
I mean, you have to.
When you go,
I don't think they let you leave until you've been through there.
When you go to the Spam Museum, you're going to be left wondering, why did I drive to Austin to go to the Spam Museum? I'm just saying. Detroit Lakes. Mm. New Ulm. New Ulm is a good choice. New Ulm is maybe an underrated city. Have you ever been to New Ulm?
I've not been to New Ulm.
Alexandria. Alexandria is nice. I just was in Alexandria. I was there.
Okay, but like when you say Detroit Lakes and Alexandria and stuff like that, is that the similar kind of thing we were just talking about? Where is it, do you like those towns or do you like the areas around those towns?
It's a fair point. Alexandria itself is a population of 15,000. Yes. I drove through Alexandria, not that much. Not that great. Yeah, you like the lakes.
Yeah.
In that
a lot of great stuff around there. Great place to go.
Red Wing.
To go around
I would put Red Wing.
Okay, sure. Red Wing. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good call. Good call.
I think Red.
Now you're.
Well, maybe that's a different segment, but like most underrated cities in Minnesota, Red Wing is, I feel, maybe the most underrated city. I don't know. Keep the text coming. Lots of good. You guys are making me think. It's good. 651-461-9226. Drive time back in just a minute.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time.
Pregame from Dyersville, Iowa, starting in just a couple minutes here on CCO. Should be really fun. First pitch at 6:30. The pregame is the drama. The game is just going to be the game. Lots of great texts about your favorite cities. Alexandria, nothing more than a speed trap on 94. Moorhead, well, then a joke that I'm not going to say on the radio, but it's very funny. What about Farmington? Farmington, good call. Fairmont, Minnesota, Five Lakes all connected there. Texter says Rochester for a favorite non-metro city. We had to pivot 1 year for a family vacation. Ended up there because we hadn't explored it previously. It was great. We went to a Honkers game, visited Niagara Cave, Forestville State Park. People were surprised that we weren't there for medical reasons. That's exactly it. Like, I visited a bakery, Seto, S-E-T-O, and oh, was it good. Egyptian bakery. They had like, oh, all sorts of Mediterranean pastries. So good. And they were like, yeah, we get a lot of recommendations where doctors send their patients to come and visit. I like, you know, if you live in the South Metro, it's only an hour to get down there. From here, it took me 90 minutes. Anyway, pretty fun as we get close to State Fair. If you got a free weekend, why not? Go explore one of these cool cities around the state. Continental Diamond time check. It's 5:57. ContinentalDiamond.com. They've got all the pre-owned luxury watches they have in stock. You can see them all on the website. And then you're going to want to go to the store and try them on. Great people over there. ContinentalDiamond.com. Video, our whole show is streaming. You can find segments, including our interview with Peggy Flanagan and our interview with Lisa Damoth. All of that available at YouTube, but also wherever you get podcasts. So go check that out. Subscribe to the podcast. We'd appreciate that. Our bosses really want more podcast downloads, so do your best. Help out. Help Dan and me help you. I don't know how it helps you, but it would help us. Pregame, let's get a Twins win. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.